should say that. I really don't think you should say any of that.
Welcome to Earth.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
I know that, dude.
Fucker, ass, fuck, oh, god damn it.
You actually can have a religious experience, and it can be even more important than reading the Bible 6 times or becoming a pope.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Chuddle the Pod, where 3 best friends take a look at the curious world around us. I am Brian, and as always, I would love to welcome my co-host Ross to the pod. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Maybe we'll have you next time as well.
So I would love that.
Anything going on? How you been? Chilling since?
You know, yeah, chilling. Just been, normal pandemic, hanging out with no one, honestly. I've been putting googly eyes on most of my plants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I still have my wife and my daughter to talk to, but, spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. They've probably stopped listening to your ramblings by now, I'm sure.
Oh, my wife years ago, my daughter barely comprehends the English language and has told me to shut up more times, than I think any other human on face the earth.
Oh,
so, it's been good.
Yeah. That's
adorable.
Fun. Yeah, right. Do you have any anything coming up you need to talk about? Any plugs? Any socials you want to throw out there?
The socials that are still non-existent from last episode that I've been meaning to put on the other one. I'll have Chuddle the Ross is what because you mm-hmm. we're doing
Pod
the
Damn It okay, Ross. You should know this by now.
Pod Damn hashtag Pod Damn It Ross. Yeah, so though that needs to happen.
No, it's fine. By the time people are, actually listening to this, you'll have the Twitter, yeah. So it'll work
mm-hmm.
out.
Perfect. Thanks, Grandma, for listening to this. I really appreciate all your support.
My grandparents aren't here to listen to it. Yeah.
I was gonna say all my grandparents are dead, so
jokes
on you.
it'd be
mine
real
too.
Weird.
That should be the name of this episode.
Oh, just hashtag jokes on you, our grandparents are dead.
Yep.
All my grandparents are dead.
Pod damn it, Ross.
Pod damn it.
You gotta remember it. We'll keep it going. Awesome. Well, great. Awesome. That's great to hear. And of course, we can't forget about my other co-host, Sam. How have you been?
Oh, I've been good. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. Welcome back. We'll see if you'll be on next time as well.
Oh, thank you. We'll see.
Hopefully the schedules will line up. So, what mm-hmm. have you been up to? Anything fun on your plate right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
I've had a lot of fun. So, let's see here. Football started. Doing fantasy football and
yeah,
excited
you're
about
into
that. Really into that.
Sure.
And
so is that
then,
does that involve like dragons and ogres fight? Like doing is that fantasy football, right? It's mostly just like Lord of the Rings characters
playing football.
Yeah. But like European football, not American football.
Yeah.
So like soccer.
Australian football. I'm in the Australian fantasy football league. So,
Yeah.
I know we got into that at one point.
What does that sound like?
I don't know. I think you're the expert on that one.
I can't recall.
I don't think that's in one of those special unreleased episode.
Oh, the unreleased one. You call that a football? This is a football.
Then I got to skateboard Friday night because I'm house sitting at my parents. So I went to the skate park.
Nice.
And
awesome.
That was fun. I'm skating a little mini ramp there, which I never really skated before. And I'm just basically learning to skate a whole new way because I'm older now. And I got to learn new tricks that I'm less likely to hurt myself doing.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Learning the physical limits of your joints and muscles and bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got pads and a helmet and everything.
Oh.
Wrist guards, knee pads, elbow pads, helmet.
Great.
I look like
playing it safe.
Cool,
you look like a
guy.
Dork.
Safety first. So you've fully embodied the skateboarding dad at the skate park.
Oh, for sure.
That's fantastic. Well, that's great.
Then,
khakis? Huh?
I said, were you wearing khakis? And no, okay.
But I am wearing shorts.
Cargo
which
shorts.
Which I feel like is kind of a dad thing. Sure. I don't know why.
As long as they were Cheerios in the lining of your...
mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you had Cheerios in your pockets and dried milk on you.
One day I brought a cooler with food because I had Bo with me and Bo was just like running around. And I ended up giving out like cold tangerines to the kids at the skate park. I also one day got there.
Was that when the cop showed up?
Locked.
Yeah, right.
No, but I hopped the fence. I hopped the fence with like a 16-year-old once because it was locked. It was supposed to be open, and then
it was supposed to be
like
open
an hour. And when I skated for an hour, and when I went to leave, it was still locked, so I had to hop back over. I got to my car and realized that I left my keys on the mini ramp, so I had to go back up and be like, hey,
over.
Miles, my keys are over there. Can you toss them over? Thanks, little homie.
Oh, that's fantastic. You made Yeah. You're going to become like a mentor to this kid. Have you been back? Have you ever seen him again?
Yeah, but
you didn't, that bond.
We didn't interact. It was at, the Olympic watch party that was down by the skate park. Cause a local guy from Osprey, was one of the three American skaters in the Olympics. So there was a big watch party here.
Neat.
Nice.
That sounds exciting.
It was neat. But even better...
What's that?
So I went out last night in a big way. I went to my first concert since like December of 19 or something like this.
Shit. How was that?
It was fucking incredible. So I was really excited for it. And then on the drive up, I got really anxious.
I'm sure.
And then I met friends of ours, Gabe and Lauren, there, and they had N95 masks, like medical masks, because they work in the medical profession. Nice. And gave one to me, and we wore them in there, and they're like not like cloth masks, they're like
mm-hmm.
crazy effective.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is heavy duty shit. Yeah.
So I was wearing that, and it was between the Buried of Me's 20-year anniversary tour an evening with, where they did a curated set and then took a break and played the Great Mr. X straight through. And
nice.
Once it got going, it was unbelievable. It was my favorite Between the Buried and Me show I've been to. It may be one of my favorite shows ever. I think it was probably a combination of a band that I love so much that I've listened to for so long being at a concert again. It was just crazy. There was a fair amount of people in there with masks. It was cool to be in a pit with a mask. I thought that was fun. I was like, man, if I can mosh in a mask, I can't listen to anybody complain about this shit.
Right. For real. Did you feel like banned?
And something that made Sam cry this week was I cried at this show last night. Like, I was overwhelmed. It was crazy. Wow. Like, it affected me a lot more deeply than I expected to.
I'm sure.
During Mordecai. Oh, yeah. At the end of Mordecai, I cried, and then another time I cried. And it was also crazy. I'd never been to a show where it was like, all right, they just did their set. Now hang out for like 10 minutes and they'll come do another one.
Yeah, that's
because,
awesome.
Yeah, they played for like a little over an hour and then took a break and then came out and played the Great Misdirect. But what was cool during that, the last song is a song called Swim to the Moon, and it's 17 minutes long. And towards the end of it, they kind of petered out and you weren't sure what was coming, and they started playing White Walls, which is the last song off Colors, and they played White Walls and then carried that back into the end of Swim to the Moon. and nice. It was incredible. Like, it was so much fun. I had the best time.
That's awesome. It sounds like an amazing time. Yeah. Sounds like you had fun. Yeah. I am craving that, going back to concerts again. I mean, I have a few lined up with the wife up here that we, you know, have in our minds, and I think we're going to be going to. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I know everywhere up here is requiring, like, you know, proof of vaccine and obviously the masks as well, so... It should be pretty.
That is, neither is required here.
Oh, I'm aware.
But I just trusted the Between the Bear and Me crowd to be a generally, like, probably smarter, more conscious crowd.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even though we live in Mad Max Beyond DeSantis zone, it's is there some beacons of, like, yeah, no, it might be suggested that you, like, you know, it's you should probably do that. We would really appreciate if you wore masks and, like, you know, or be vaccinated to these things.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes up here. I'm excited for it. I think that's...
What are you going to?
Someone named Rainwolf is the next one up. That is where an opening act is someone Sam and I know. After that, right before my birthday, I have tickets for Hello Goodbye is coming. So.
Ooh,
well, yeah,
that's
right.
Fun.
That should be fun. So yeah, that's kind of on the list. I haven't been to a concert since, yeah, probably. I think I went right before, it was in February of 2020. So I mean, that was right before everything went wild.
What was the concert you went to?
The last one I went to was Poppy.
So, oh, dope. Ooh.
Yeah, so
nice.
That was.
I know you're a big fan.
I am.
I want you to do a segment on her, actually.
Oh, I have it planned for future episodes. Maybe I'll jump into the music category for a few and talk about it. Because there's a bunch to dive in there. It evolves quite a bit. What were you saying, Ross? Mm-hmm. What was the last thing that you went to?
Oh, I think... Oh, man. That would have been... I think it was like January or beginning of February because it was for my birthday. It's Willie Nelson. Was the last dude I saw before the shit hit the fan.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
We watched...
Yeah, and that... Bit...
Sorry, go on.
No, continue. No, you, sir.
No, you. I believe we watched a Willie Nelson 420 streaming special, like, when the pandemic was first going on, and it was, like... It was terrible, like, quality. Like, they were still figuring out how to make things work in this, like... You know, the new world and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but how was that? Was that...
Oh, dude, it was amazing. It was one of those concerts where... this is one of those... that's the best way of putting this. All right, so I'm super glad that I saw Willie Nelson. I had an opportunity to see John Prine play at the St. Augustine Theater in December, but we decided to hold off because we had paid the money to go do Willie Nelson. And then, of course, John Prine unfortunately passed away from COVID like halfway through, which was like, womp, womp, womp. I'm like, oh, shit. But that being said, Willie Nelson was fantastic. That dude, his family's fantastic. The concert was great. The drunk, screaming human beings to stage ratio was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because they had everybody sit down. I mean, the guy's like, what, like 850 years old, and he's up there. So it's like, and he was still jamming it. He had his guitar, and I would have to say maybe like 80% of the concert was just him jamming out, and it was nuts to watch someone that is that damn talented and old doing that so well. You know, because, like, we've all been to, like, the weird concerts where it's, like, you know, the 30th anniversary tour of blah, 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 and he shows up, and it feels like they've just, like, it's a mixture of, a morgue and Chuck E. Cheese. Like, you feel like they just wheeled corpses up on stage, and then they do their animatronic set, and then they just power down, and they just wheel them off stage.
Right.
And then you get your commemorative t-shirt that you viewed the corpse for 35 to 45 minutes, and then the curtain draws. But this was, you know, the power was, it was really, really, really good. I've never seen that many grown people cry in one area, too. Like, it's, and it's selective songs, because Willie Nelson hits, like, all the feels. So, like, he'll jump around, and then, like, left stage is just fucking bawling their eyes out. And then the right stage is just bawling their eyes out. And then, First Rose of Spring off of his new album, for whatever reason, probably because my daughter's middle name is Rose, just hit me in the feels. I was just like sitting there and I felt like he was singing to me and I was just crying my eyes out. And I had a 50-year-old guy in a huge handlebar mustache that looked like Sam Elliott just pat me on the shoulder and goes, "He gets me too, man. He gets me too."
Oh, that is beautiful and lovely, and I'm so happy to hear that story. Well, that's awesome. That I'm so wonderful. Glad to have you gentlemen both here with me this evening. As I mentioned
thank
before,
you for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. As I mentioned before, I am your remaining co-host, Brian, and I'm doing great as well. And we talked about some fun stuff, so I think let's go ahead and get into our segments, shall we?
Yeah, let's done do it.
Awesome. I guess, well, actually, before, if I remember correctly, before we go into this first segment, we are going to actually take a quick little break.
I know what you're thinking. Why do I have to have two toilets? One for pee and one for poop? Well, your troubles are over. Potty. We do both.
And we are back. Thank you very much for those kind words from that kind person. All right, so as I said before, I guess I don't know if I said it before. I'm going to be up first today. So,
yay, awesome. Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We'll see. So it's time to sit back and open your mind as we dive into the Creepy Files.
Ooh.
Now, first of all, I'd like to preface this week's topic by saying it may not be actually considered a creepypasta, but it's definitely an urban legend.
Okay.
And going forward, like, I want to just say I think the Creepy Files is going to focus on a wide range of creepy things and not necessarily just creepypastas. So I think that opens things up a little bit more. We don't always have to dive into just this fake
pasta.
World of
you
writing.
Can do,
pasta.
Maybe we don't want to
do creepy
just be
macaroni.
Yeah. We don't need to have, you know, Teddy the Spaghetti Man coming at us again with Marinara Mike. So, all that being said, we can get into it. Imagine. The year is 1981. It's another typical day in suburban Portland, Oregon, when you start to hear rumors around school of a new video game popping up in a couple arcades around town. You haven't checked it out yet, but you know that with all the hype going around, this game had to be good. As soon as school ends, you fly home to grab a stack of quarters and quickly make your way to the arcade. Once you arrive, you notice a line of kids waiting to get inside. You wait, and you wait, and you wait some more. As the line moves, you notice the kids leaving. The arcade seems slightly off, like something was troubling them. You shrug it off, and you finally enter the building. The line continues, but you finally get your first glimpse of the machine and see just one word, Polybius. So, I don't know, without giving away too much, if you've heard of this urban legend before? It's a...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have
I'm trying
not.
To think of this... There was a show that made an episode of this.
Well, of course. There's. It seems that I think a common theme that's going to happen is a lot of, like... I don't know, new media and TV and stuff is going to be based in a lot of this. And this, as I said, is more of
an
older urban legend. The story first pops up online.
It's not that old, right?
Ish. I mean, at this point, yes. 80s, early 80s. So the story first pops up online in forums around 1998 or 2000, according to like a few different articles of what it says. But it could have been spreading around earlier than that. Through word of mouth. So the rumors are,
the
I guess
Chris album.
Sorry. Yes. he's going on about it. So the rumors are coming out in the maybe 90s of it about an arcade or about a story that took place in the 80s. So it's 1981 essentially. So back to like the story then kind of goes on that it was a couple arcades in Portland, Oregon specifically, got these machines in them. And kids were lining, like, as our story goes, kids were lining up around the block to play it, and it kind of developed this addiction. And you would be like, there are accounts of, like, you're waiting in line to play this, and then all of a sudden there'd be like these men come up and wearing all black, like, you know, men in black essentially, come up to the machine, seem to like mess around with it, don't take any money from it, which is weird, but just take data, would be the best way to describe it. So
recalibrate,
right? They're you know,
they're service the machines in some way.
So not much is known about the game besides a lot of these rumors. It seems that there isn't that much even info on what type of game it was and what people were actually playing as well. So it, there's like a few that are like, it was like a maze type game. There was I forget what the other examples are, but there's no actual copy of like the original file of this game existing, even though some people claim to have it.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool though, because I mean, like, obviously with Creepypasta, it's like some of these concepts are super obtuse, so like you can kind of just fill in your own details depending on who you're telling the story to.
And unlike a Creepypasta, it's not necessarily like a first-person account. Like the story I was telling in the beginning was just, you know, something I made up of, you know, theoretically someone hearing about this game and what it would have been like. But that's kind of your big difference as to like the Creepypasta would have been that story and account. And everything that I'm finding about this is just kind of like talking about this game existing and being a thing. So it's there's a few pictures.
Is there anything about like what happened to the kids after they played it or anything? Or it's just like they wanted to play it, they were a little weird after, and these men serviced it?
They would start to experience nightmares, nausea, headaches, blackouts, and some even developed amnesia. So the game was said to be, you know, like causing like these,
it's like
they're causing, you know, you to hallucinate while,
like,
you were
the government
playing it as
testing,
well,
putting on messages to like media to control the population,
well,
type of
not
thing.
I don't even know if it was necessarily to control the population, because it was only, so the big thing is that it was only around for like a month and then they were all of a sudden gone and disappeared or whatever and not to be seen again. So it's, a lot of people think that they were essentially military testing as well to find, you know, like what could be super soldiers, not necessarily super soldier, but, you know, candidates
like
that would be
good. A training method?
A training type method as well. It could have been a number of things, I guess,
aliens?
Kind of in that realm.
Could have been aliens.
I didn't see anything related to aliens. The only thing that had any note of it or would kind of go around, because there was only a few pictures of like what the old like arcade cabinet looked like with the screen on it, and obviously these could, you know, and most likely were photoshopped and just fake. Mm-hmm. Besides, you know, the fact that there's no real evidence of this game existing, the screen said that the company that made it, and I'm gonna butcher this word, is Sinneslauschen. It's German.
Sinneslauschen.
Wait, one more time with an accent?
No, thanks. I'm just going to avoid that. Basically, when you kind of looked at like what people, like, if, I don't think it's a real word is the thing as well, because when you Google it and try to like look it up and translate it, it just brings it all back to articles about Polybius. So it's, mm-hmm, a lot of people say it means a few different things, like it involving like sense delete or like sensory overload. So that's
okay, so this is like if it was like MK Ultra met the Wizard with Fred Savage.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's
could it have been ghosts?
I don't think ghosts did it.
What about vampires?
Probably not vampires or werewolves or zombies either. I think it's strictly governmental
aliens.
Or, you know, I think I already said that, you know, I don't think it is aliens. I think it's government related.
But what if it's government aliens?
I mean, it could be.
He's got you there.
There's not much else floating around on it. People have made versions of, like, you know, have made the game, but it's not the original game of what it is.
Does anybody, like, go crazy for it? So the people that made the game, though, then what are the games that they made if nobody knows exactly what the game was?
Nothing else. They're, you know, this shadow company or whatever that made it. Yeah. I believe you can go to their website, and I think it pulls up something with Polybius, but at this point now, I think it, you know, it's all not, it's all playing on the urban legend already. So anything.
Ominous government. I'm sorry. Ominous government just fucking with kids and seeing what happens.
Right?
Okay.
And
nice. Yeah.
I mean,
you can kind of buy that. Where it's like, you get told that, you're like, all right, that's not like totally out of the scope of things. I mean, if a werewolf did it, that might be a little ludicrous.
Unless I don't know. I could see it being a werewolf.
And then it circles back to what Sam said.
It seems more like a vampire thing to do, though.
Are you our resident expert on what vampires and werewolves would do in terms of entertainment?
Ghosts.
Technology? Would this be like a prank or a recruitment thing from them? What would okay?
Oh, it's a test.
Here's the thing
for food, cattle control. You know,
a vampire were to do it, that's what they're doing it for.
Yeah.
What about an alien? Because you keep bringing up aliens. What would aliens?
Oh,
what?
Oh, dude, Last Starfighter. Last Starfighter.
They were testing their technology to make people forget. That's why there was amnesia. That's where the little red sticky thing comes from in Men in Black, the forget stick.
Now, werewolves wouldn't do it.
The red flashy thing,
Brian? If a werewolf were to do it, what would their goal be?
Well, they wouldn't do it.
Well, I know they wouldn't, but you're the expert. Okay, so somehow they are able to do it. What would they do it for?
Just to rub it in the face of vampires? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big rivalry there.
That makes sense. Great. So, I mean, as I said, or as I can tell, there's not much else really on this story. Most kind of arrows point to it, you know, not being a real thing that happened, and obviously just being kind of one of those urban legends, right? But because, like, it, like, not even like a prank that could have happened. You could see that happening more, I guess, nowadays, of like somebody being able to upload, like, you know, software that, you know, could theoretically make you have a seizure or something like that into an arcade machine. So it's like you could create that urban legend, right?
Oh, I mean, there's no reason somebody couldn't have done something at any point, man. I mean, anytime anybody could just really do anything, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
At any point, anybody could do anything. But I guess, you know, for the purpose of creating this urban legend, I think it's highly improbable at the time with the technology available to create anything, you know, feasible. So it's strictly, I'm going to label it strict urban legend.
Boom.
So salt, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like all I have for this week. I just wanted to do a short and sweet one to get prepared for what we're going to be doing next. So I hope you enjoyed our little talk on this. I don't know. Do you guys have any more thoughts, theories, or questions about this?
It does remind me of something. I feel like I may have seen something that was inspired by it before. I just don't know what.
There's definitely different iterations, different versions of this. Yeah, I think there was one. This is definitely in a movie because I remember seeing. It's like a Tron face. It's some kid like cracking out on a game that begins with a P, and it has like a Tron gridded face, who's like the ominous like overlord of the game, and he winds up beating it, and he gets sucked into the goddamn game. And then, I guess, winds up getting murked or something like that. Or it's just a really bad version of Last Starfighter, which is just aliens come to Earth and they drop off all these video games. And they're like, if you get the high score, we need you to actually... It was aliens. Yeah. Because then it's like, oh, you beat the high score. Hey, 12-year-old, let's shoot you into the stratosphere, put you in a real, actual starfighter so you can fight this unknown entity and risk your life for no reason than you just had 50 cents to blast at a local arcade.
I'd probably spend a lot more on it to get that good, you know.
Actually,
not if you're naturally talented. You just pick that thing up. You stumble upon the quarter, and you just like
with that. There's already a token in there. Starfighter.
Yeah,
it's like the machine already has like a coin put in it. So you're just like, oh, maybe I'll play it.
Oh, wow.
And you just like ace it. So there's actually, real quick, that I just remembered, there was a reference to the game in The Simpsons. I think, like, I don't remember if they're in an arcade or what, but they're like walking by a bunch of machines, and Polybius is in there as well. So it's nice. Simpsons did it, made it way into even that.
Simpsons did it.
So great. Thank you, me, for that little short story we had here. And
you're welcome.
You're welcome, me.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. And we are going to take another quick break and be right back.
Nylon. You can make lots of things. Nylon. Use it to make things.
And welcome back. Thank you very much to those kind words from our kind sponsors. Up next, we have the one and only Sam with a little bit of this and that for us. Sam, what's going on?
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh boy. Hi guys. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
That's a strong start.
Thank you. That was my West Side Gun impression. So I'm going to be talking to you fellas about Griselda Records. I know I didn't follow up with anything to send you guys to listen to, but Brian had seen a video and Ross seemed to know quite a bit. You were like, oh yeah. I hear it in the shop. So, did either of you happen to listen to any between now and then?
I happened to listen to some between now and then.
Quite a lot. Then and now? I couldn't tell you honestly what, but I've heard quite a lot.
What did you listen to, Rybrand?
I don't know. I looked it up. I couldn't tell you the name of the album, but yeah. I just put it on and had it play.
Cool. Griselda Records. It is a rap, hip-hop brand, collective, record label, clothing company entity, and they're based out of Buffalo, New York. Started by West Side Gun, and the Griselda, the group, is him and his brother Conway the Machine and their little cousin Benny the Butcher. They sort of got popular because they sound like a 90s New York boom bap street rap type of group. That's a sound that nobody's really doing anymore, and it was nostalgic, but they do it well and different, and it's almost like, to me, artsy in a way, the way that it's done.
Super artsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really artsy. It's so good. It's so, so good.
So I've been just listening to it a lot lately and been watching videos and reading stuff about it. Made sense to me to just talk about them to you guys for a little bit. Basically what I'm going to do is complex.com or Complex. It's, you know, a music journalism thing. They did an article called A Guide to Griselda. So I'm just going to sort of go through that with you guys. We can talk about stuff as it comes up. And I'm going to add in with my own knowledge of anything that's not in here to talk about, you know, other things that may come up. So it's called A Guide to Griselda, the article by Sean Sitaro or Sitaro, Sean S-H-A-W-N-S-E-T-A-R-O.
So Sean, if you're listening to this, tweet us or message us your actual pronunciation of your name, and we'll get it in the next show. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put it in the notes. So how did Griselda start? Griselda began life not as a record label, but as a clothing brand, Griselda by Fashion Rebels, or GXFR. You can hear drops for the brand on the crew's early mixtapes. West Side Gun was behind the clothing brand and was the first one to drop music on Griselda Records, as well with his 2012 project, Hitler Wears Hermes, or like Hermes. It's a high-end fashion thing. Do you guys know that?
Not familiar. Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea if it weren't for them. You know, that's not my world at all.
The owner of the shop I work at, he has bought a bunch of clothing from their line with their vinyls and stuff. They do mad drops, and it's crazy the setup that they have where they have, like, shoe exclusives. They've got, like, hat and hoodie exclusives, and, like, sometimes they're in, like, there was one drop in Orlando, and then sometimes when they're playing gigs, they'll have, like, okay, we have...
Oh, there was a pop-up in Orlando?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. There was a pop-up in Orlando. There was also one because they're obsessed with wrestling. So, like, there's sometimes when, like, I think it was in Tampa when the WWE... No, yes, WWE.
I believe it's that one. In Tampa.
Yeah, had their jam. I think it was Benny the Butcher was out there. And he had, like, a show that he was doing nearby. And same thing with, like, a merch drop. And, like, dude, these things sell out within, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, all the West Side Guns stuff sells out, like, immediately. The other guys, if you go to their website, some of their stuff sold out. But some of Conway and Benny the Butcher still have some stuff, like, on their website. Each guy has their own store that you would, like, link to. And they go for, like... a lot of money in the resale market. It's like,
I'm sure
it's like Nike drops. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar. When I was working in the city, I worked across from like the Supreme store. They used to have lines around the corner every whatever day that they would do drops there.
Right.
So I assume it's, you know, it's the same type of shit.
Absolutely.
Oh, huge.
And it was all, you know, either a lot of people buying, not a lot, you know, I don't know what the actual ratio is of people buying it for themselves versus people actually reselling it. I feel like it's a shit ton of resellers.
Oh, I'm sure. Huge amount of
reseller value.
If you bought it for yourself, it would almost be foolish not to resell it. Like,
oh, huge. I mean, like, there's some stuff, like, if you collect it to own it versus collecting it to, like, resell it. But, like, yeah, I mean, some of these numbers are nuts. I mean, like, some of these hoodies, like, they'll buy you, the buy-in's, like, you know, $80 to $100, and then the resale's, like, $6 to $7 easy. Which is
that's insane.
Which is just insane.
Yeah.
Which is great, though. I mean, like, yeah.
It is crazy.
I mean, good on them.
Yeah, it's not like, I don't... It's interesting, because I really like Griselda, and they're, like, especially West Side Gun is... But all of them are really into, like, fashion and style and presentation and just stuff that I've never really particularly cared about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they do it is just cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's a... I feel like it's a more evolved, articulated version of when Odd Future released all their free content. Where it was like, in like they had the merch drops and things like that, but these guys, this collectively, these guys have dropped like albums every other month
for
like a year,
constantly.
Like,
putting
there's
out,
so yeah. much content,
and I'm just talking about these three guys. There's more artists like involved with Griselda Records that I'm not going to touch on.
Have you heard the new Boldy James?
Not yet with Alchemist.
Dude, that album is so good. We've been banging that at the shop nonstop, and that's such a good album.
Yeah, I intend to. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Oh, the wrestling thing reminded me. West Side Gun is like a part owner of a wrestling promotion company, Hog, which I think was House of Glory. And if I remember correctly, he co-owns it with Master P.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, I watched a video on how to pronounce it popular, Hermes, but it's spelled like Hermes, so I'm going to call it Hermes, which again is like some high fashion thing that I know nothing about. Their shoes started $1,000. I went to the website today. Some of them were $3,000.
Nice.
Oh my God, and you got us all a pair? That's so nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. So please, please subscribe to the Patreon. We really need a pair of these.
But it's just one pair that we just mail to each other.
Yes,
so we
exactly.
can just look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Hitler Wears Hermes ended up being a whole series. I think 8 was the one that just dropped. West Side Gun came up with the name because he wanted it to sound like grimy and grab your attention. And also... it's a play on The Devil Wears Prada. Hitler Wears Hermes. The Griselda name. Do you guys know where the Griselda name comes from? Do you know Griselda Blanco?
No, you should tell us.
Oh, well, that'd be like a whole other segment. but she was a Colombian drug lord who there's a lot to talk about there. I've listened to multiple podcasts about what she got into.
I'm sure she got into a lot, but you're saying she was a drug lord?
Yeah, and that's where the name Griselda comes from.
Gotcha. Cool.
Let's see here. So it's a record label and a crew, a collective. It's like a bunch of different things. They signed with Shady Records, and that's where the WWCD album came out on, like as an official major label release. Everything else they've done was independent. Mm-hmm. And the...
Weren't most of these guys on the Cypher?
What?
Those Cypher videos that came out that Slim did? Do you remember those? I think it was like a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Cypher YouTube ones. Weren't most of the Griselda crew?
Oh, I don't know.
Like,
they
I
think
Benny's on there. Yeah.
So they know each other because they're West Side Gun and Conway the Machine are brothers, and Benny the Butcher is their younger cousin. The WWCD stands for What Would Sheen Gun Do? Sheen Gun was Benny the Butcher's older brother, and he was killed in 2006. So it's like an homage to him, and they always talk him up and shout him out. And West Side Gun has like a pennant that he always wears with a picture of Sheen as a like toddler, I guess,
mm-hmm.
on it.
I gotcha.
And, I was watching an interview there, like, if he was here, there'd be a four chair here, he'd be here with us. So they're always trying to represent him. I think Benny the Butcher just put out Tana 3, and the cover of that was, he's on a lot of covers, he gets a lot of love.
Nice.
So West Side Gun is kind of the, seems to be the, like, visionary, or like the one who had the vision for putting everything together and presentation and making it what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
They had all been rapping, and obviously their family, so they've grew up together and been working together for a long time. West Side Gun had actually stopped rapping and was managing Conway, his career. And when Conway was going back and forth between Atlanta and Buffalo, and he was coming back to Buffalo and got shot twice, I think, in the shoulder and then
Shit.
Through the back of the neck and out his face.
Fuck.
And he paralyzed that half of his face. So while he was recovering is when West Side Gun started rapping again and put out that first Hitler Wears Hermes. And then that's also just when he started sort of putting all the pieces together to make, from what I've read and seen, to pull Griselda together. Meanwhile, Conway had been the rapper, right? West Side Gun had stopped. Benny the Butcher was rapping, but doing his own thing. They also, before Griselda, had something called Street Entertainment, which was another sort of indie label fashion brand thing they were doing together. But after Conway got shot, he had to go through a lot of physical therapy, and he sounded different, and it was very hard. But he kind of figured out a new sound, and it's what makes him sound unique now. He sort of uses it to his advantage. And all three of them, I wanted to say, also all sound very different and have their own styles and everything. Like, I would say that, or from what I've read, and the general consensus is that, like, Benny the Butcher would be the best lyricist. Conway would be sort of the rapper type guy. And West Side Gunn, I don't even know. He's, like, everybody's favorite, but it's just, like, a vibe, or just, like, mm-hmm. the charisma, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
That showmanship.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do.
Boom, 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 boom. Fly God. But, and then Benny the Butcher, their cousin, Benny apparently is, because his name's Jeremy Pennick. So Benny is short for Best Ever in New York. And he'd been rapping and sort of been doing his own thing. And again, they all just sort of pulled it back together and came to this one sound that was kind of coming from a lot of it was derived from their producer Derringer, who did most of their music and still does. They work with other producers as well, but he's kind of what gave that sort of sampled spooky sound. And what's nice. Interesting is that he had only ever done sampled stuff, and when they signed to Shady and they had to put out a major label record, they didn't want to sample anything because they basically didn't want to pay rights for any of it. They were like, that's less money out of our pockets. So they had Derringer work with Beat Butcher, and he was essentially like the guy who knew about music and could help make this stuff. So even though the whole album sounds sampled, it's none of it sampled. It's like a musician and a guy who knows how right. to, you know, so it's kind of a cool, actually interesting process.
Composing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. That's yeah. neat. Yeah, yeah, that's definitely different compared to everything seeming to be samples.
Right, exactly.
Or a lot of things, not everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do know what
but
you mean.
But those New York guys have a fun way of doing that, too, because I forget what Wu-Tang album it was. They used a live orchestral, like, there was no samples. It was all live musicians doing, like, these... The whole thing was orchestrated beautifully, but it sounded the exact same thing. It sounded like it was 100% samples, and it's just actual just musicians in the studio
right.
just making the beautiful music.
Yeah, so sick. So that's really all I have to say about him. I've been really into it. I've been listening to him a lot. Those three guys have... Like we said, they're pretty prolific. They put out a ton of stuff, so been just burning through a lot of the catalog.
One of them's up for, I don't know, I think it might be Benny? BET Awards, they have, like, Best Lyricist and stuff like that, and he...
It
like,
would
just
make
first
sense. He's,
gate.
Like, I would yeah. consider, like, the
He's
most
up against
accessible
Nas and some other stuff, but...
And the most, like... Yeah, the most accessible. He seems like the easiest to gain popularity in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mainstream success.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for that, Sam. I mean, I know that's a lot of information, and you seem to be pretty, you know, passionate about it. I don't know if that's the right word, but I can tell that you like the band, and therefore it was easy to like
yeah, yeah,
want
exactly.
to know all this type of stuff about him. So that's pretty cool. Well, again, thank
hey,
you
Brian.
Very much. Yes. What?
Hey, Brian, he likes it.
He likes it. Hey, he likes it. So I think we're just going to roll right into Ross is a segment next coming up. So Ross, I believe, watched another movie and is going to tell us about that. So what's going on, Ross?
I did. What up? All right, so there's so many movies that I want to cover, but I realize that October's coming up, and a lot of these seem way more appropriate for October. So instead of going through some of my favorites, I actually went and saw a new one.
Ooh.
Newer. I sat down and I watched Freaky with Mr. Vince Vaughn.
Oh, I've seen that.
The Blumhouse. Yeah, the Blumhouse. It's basically Freaky Friday, but with a serial killer.
That's interesting. That's fun.
Yeah, so Blumhouse has been on this really, I think it's a mixture of their production, as in, like, they kind of give these limited budgets to these directors where they're like, okay, you've got, like, X amount of million dollars to figure something out. Go ahead and just explore these ideas. So there's been a few, just Blumhouse in general, I feel, has some really cool ideas. Because there's not a lot of corporate interruption into the thought process for the directors, because they're not like $100 million movies. They're like these, just like, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It feels like the old what was it? That's not canon. The old Masters of the Universe, and there was just like, I think it wasn't Gideon. I'll find that out, and we'll put just to. Insert title of company here.
I'm not doing that.
It makes it funnier that way. No, but it's like you get X amount of millions of dollars. If it hits, awesome. If it flops, it's not that big of a fucking deal. And then they'll just move on to the next one. So I feel like Blumhouse has been covering these really weird ones where it's like they make Freaky, which is basically like a gore fest of Freaky Friday. And then previous to that, they had Happy Death Day, which was basically a slasher version of Groundhog Day. Yes. So they're taking these, like,
it's the same director.
It's the same director, too.
Yeah. The same director that did Happy Death Day did...
Has been doing... Yeah.
But he wrote Freaky as well, because I was just looking it up as you were talking, because I knew there was some sort of connection. But I forgot the guy who wrote Happy Death Day... was not the guy who wrote and directed Freaky, but it was Scott Lobdell, who's like a comic book writer. I don't know that he's written many other movies, but
that's
fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Continue. So it's a really interesting concept where they're taking these kind of things. So Freaky is, honestly, if you're going to do anything, like, just watch Vince Vaughn act as a 16-year-old girl. It's some of the funniest.
I loved it.
Like, this hits... Oh, it's fantastic. Like, this hits on so many different funny levels where it's, like, the concept is, like, the concept, you go into the film knowing what this is. It's like Happy Death Day, where it's like, okay, it's basically a blood version of Freaky Friday. So it's got just enough brain candy, as in, like, you know what's going to happen, and you know the havoc ensued. So it's more of just about the development of, like, characters and... kind of how the process kind of goes through. I did really enjoy. There's a lot of weird nods to
you haven't really
other films.
Said like.
I'm gonna get there in my
he's
segment.
There, I think.
Okay. I've been like dying.
I'm listening to him here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Here. How about give me the plot, Sam?
Well, just that. What's the Freaky Friday element of it?
They're switching bodies. So
who's
it's,
switching
it,
bodies?
I have notes and everything, Sam.
He's world building right now. He's getting us into the
I wasn't. You're I familiar was with let it. You keep going, but then you were that stopped to have me question you.
I don't know. Could continue. Yeah.
All right. Take two. I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. All right. Just whatever. All right. I'll just go to the plot. I have no idea what the hell I was talking about. So Freaky is basically Freaky Friday, and if you don't know the original plot, it is a mother and daughter switch bodies, and then hilarity ensues trying to get themselves back into the correct bodies of each other. Mm-hmm. So in Freaky, you have Vince Vaughn's character, who plays the Butcher, who is a escaped inmate, insane slasher, who picks up by happenstance. Well, not really by happenstance, because in the film you kind of have like ominous voices calling to him. Aztec knife, which I find really funny, is that there's Spanish engraved on the Aztec, which wouldn't be culturally relevant at all, which is another kind of flub in the movie. But so he gets this thing, and then Catherine Newton, who plays Millie, is kind of this it's kind of a fun cast, but it's that really big cliche where she's like, I'm the outcast, I'm the one that everyone makes fun of, and it's just they dress up an incredibly likable character, but in just really frumpy clothes. Sure. So then later on, when they're wearing clothes sure. that actually fit them, then they look like, oh my God, this girl's completely changed. So she has her friends. She gets attacked by the Butcher under a full moon and doesn't kill her. But in the process of doing so, they switch bodies when they both fall asleep that night. So Millie, Catherine Newton's character, is now woken up inside of Vince Vaughn's character in a dilapidated like warehouse full of like human faces, dead cats, so gross. And other things.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
With the ritual that makes them change. So did he stab her with it, or what was the purpose of it?
Yes. Okay. So he stabs her in the shoulder, and spoiler alert, that you've come to find out later is that the stab, it's basically a sacrificial dagger, and the sacrificial dagger, if it's used and it's not successfully done in the sacrifice, the assailant and the victim switch bodies for 24 hours, and then after 24 hours, if not stabbed, quote unquote stabbed back, to get their bodies back in, the change is permanent.
Okay, so it's like a ancient Aztec safeguard,
basically
making sure you're sacrificing properly.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. This it's basically OSHA of curses. So they just want to make gotcha. Sure you're doing everything by the book and by the yeah.
I gotcha.
So
okay. Good.
Yeah, and then hilarity and havoc ensues. Vince Vaughn playing a teenage girl is amazing. He's fucking hilarious. Also, to her credit, Catherine Newton as Millie, as the Butcher, mm-hmm. is also really funny. I did really like the homages to... there's a lot of different homages to different slashers. So in like the beginning of the film, it's definitely got a Friday the 13th vibe. I mean, it happens on Friday the 13th. So like they have a buildup where it's like, I think it's like Wednesday the 11th. And nice. Then the next day is like Thursday the 12th. And then and then the whole Freaky Friday happens on Friday the 13th, which is funny because when the movie was released, it was released in November 13th, which was a Friday the 13th of 2020.
Oh, nice. I'm lining it up.
Yeah, and there were some really cool homages and stuff to it. So like I said before, one of the masks they use in the beginning of the film is a very, very similar to a hockey mask. So it definitely has some heavy Friday the 13th vibes, but there's huge references to Halloween in this. One of the kills, not going to say who, it's in the beginning of the film, is an impaling scene, and he does like the head cock, just like Michael Myers when he kills Bob in the hallway in the original Halloween. Even so far that Booker's last name of Strode is actually seen on her jersey. So, like, there's tons of Strode and Halloween references that are completely there.
Vince Vaughn's character, the Butcher, is he, like, what would you say his personality is like? Is he more of a Michael Myers Jason type? No. Does he talk as the Butcher? Or does he?
He does talk as the Butcher. It's much more of, like, a sociopath. So, not like the silent brute. Like, when he's killing, no real talking. Okay. Once the Freaky Friday change happens, it's very more like sociopathic. It's kind of just like,
Sure.
Yeah. Intent cool. to kill and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
The film was, I mean, honestly, super cool. I would only say my main complaint, I don't know mm-hmm. if that would be the best way of describing that, but like, it's really funny because I, going into this, I thought what the film was going to be was that they were going to switch bodies. And then because now you have Millie's character, who's the butcher, in a high school full of high school students, I thought the body count was going to be astronomically larger than it was.
Gotcha. So, yeah, there's an opportunity right?
Huge, right? So it's like, it not only was like, oh, we got to switch bodies. It was like, oh my God, I have to stop her from murdering the entire school. Because even if we switch back bodies, I can't be a mass murderer back in my own 16-year-old body. But the kill scenes are awesome. I mean, like, if you love gore, if you love table saws, if you love household objects, if you like wine bottles, they even have, like, quick little nods. They have hooks from I Know What You Did Last Summer. I mean, there's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre reference nice. with some football players, which, funny enough, it reminds me of the missing scene from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, there's an entire scene they cut out of the movie where the cook and Leatherface drive down to a tailgating party and they murder the opposing football team that's supposed to go up against Texas. So chainsaws
because
against football
big,
players
like,
is
football fans.
And they don't are huge football fans, and they don't want anybody fucking with Texas, which is fantastic. So like, oh yeah, that's if you can find that on YouTube. It's a hilarious scene. I think there's this whole scene where like just limbs are flying and everywhere. So there's an homage to that. It was a whole lot of fun. It's not. I mean, this is not a deep psychological thriller by any standpoint. This is like. Having a really fun. This is a great intermediate horror movie for people that don't like horror movies because there's enough comedy in this to ride it through. I mean, Jesus,
it's a horror comedy.
What is it? It's a horror comedy. Like there's a makeout scene between her love interest, which is Booker Strode, played by Uriah Shelton, and Vince Vaughn in the back of a car. Which is, in and of itself, is just hilarious because Vince Vaughn playing a 16-year-old girl in a makeout scene with a teenage boy. And then, best part, only reason they stopped, because his hands were too big.
Nice. So it sounds like this is much more successful in doing, like, I don't know, I would call this... Would you call it a dark comedy or a horror movie with comedy? Where would it lean?
I would say,
I don't know, or 50-50.
Okay, like. I would say it leans more towards it's a horror film with a lot of comedic.
Gotcha.
Because it's not necessarily a dark humor, because it is a slasher, and there are lots mm-hmm. of elements of those kind of dynamics. I mean, like, they even go as far as, like, he's, to hide himself, he's wearing a, I'm going to get the actors, he's wearing an Aaron Rodgers mask, which is basically like a without the white spray paint. It's basically like an homage to like a William Shatner mask that he has to wear around town. Because also as a 16-year-old girl, he's just traipsing around. Yeah, that was the one they throws on when he goes to the mother's department store.
I don't. When they're getting chased by the sister. I don't remember it very well. I watched it like when it first came out, and I really liked it. But I'm sure I wasn't sober.
But again, honestly, it's one of those like kick back a few and like have a fun time with the movie. It's very straightforward enough that it's not like you're trying to watch a horror movie version of Inception. Like this is like
sure.
it's fun. It's fun. It's gory. Honestly, my only complaints is that I think it could have been a little gorier, and I feel that they probably not toned it down, but I think the reason they did this, obviously, it's, you know, the December during the pandemic. You know what I mean? I'm figuring they were trying to have this as accessible to as many people as possible.
Sure.
I thought of it much more of a comedy than you do. It sounds like you did. Like, I think of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's super.
It's more like a Happy Death Day or Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Shaun of the Dead.
Which is heavy on the comedy and with a lot of gore horror elements.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It's definitely not as gory as Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is a cinematic masterpiece.
Do you know if it's rated R? Is it rated R?
I would have to be.
Or PG-13. Okay, because there's enough of that gore, I guess.
It's rated R, an hour and 42-minute runtime. So
that's an easy watch.
Did you guys like Happy Death Day?
It's not too bad.
I really like Happy Death Day. That I remember.
Yeah, I was a big fan of
that. Oh, that was fantastic.
I've watched both of them. There's two of them.
Yeah, the second one I didn't like as much.
I agree. It didn't.
But I like the first one a lot.
I know they changed it, but yeah. The first one was a lot of fun. So I feel like, if you've seen
Sam
that,
and I, when
it
we
sounds
watched
like something
Freaky,
good to watch
I'm
as well.
I'm wondering what you guys think. Sam and I, when we watched Freaky, we were talking about, like, what's the next movie, like, comedy trope that they can turn into a horror movie. Like, they did the Freaky Friday and they did the Groundhog's Day. What's, like, another thing like that? That would be...
That's almost become kind of like the Parent Trap somehow.
Oh, my God. Jinx. Yeah, basically a Saw version of the Parent Trap.
It's like, you got to pick those movies that have been like... I mean, Groundhog Day just has been a staple and around forever, but Freaky Friday's been like made so many times.
Right, and it's like one of those like tropes that like if a sitcom's been on long enough, they'll do... Like, could be both of those, you know what I mean? Or, like, a lot of things will do their own version of it. Maybe it'd be, like, I don't know. Yeah. I had thought of one at the time. I was hoping when I brought it up that I would think of it. I like the Saw Parent Trap, though. That's good.
Honestly, out of all of them, and it's not really even a trope, I would love to see a remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, but like a much more violent version of that with, was it Christina Applegate? Because that movie in and of itself is insane, but if you add it, instead of she just like croaks, like something insane happens to the babysitter, like that would be mwah. Because I kind of did kind of a notch below, and I will probably try to cover it in December, but they did like Better Watch Out, which basically was a horror movie version of like Home Alone.
Okay.
With kind of some twists and stuff like that. Like that's the only thing that like in this canon that I thought was moderately similar, where it was like it takes the what you would think the movie would be and then kind of flips it a little bit. In a completely different direction. But yeah, no, I dig it. I would say if there was a few more student bodies in this film, I would give this a solid 4, but I think I'm going to give it a 3.5 digits removed on the hand on this one. I think that's that's going to be, yeah, I think it's a 3. I think it's a 3.5 out of 5.
Interesting. Sam, do you have a rating that you would give it?
Maybe like 5 out of 7.
5 out of 7. Interesting. You're going with just like a completely different scale.
Just a completely different scale.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know quite how to average that, but it seems like it's a pretty well recommended
movie.
So
I really enjoyed it. Now that we've talked about it, I want to rewatch it. I knew I was going to end up rewatching it anyway. But I don't really remember it too well, other than that Vince Vaughn was so funny as the teenage girl, and that the actress that was the killer did a great job as well. And when he talked about that scene where she first wakes up as him, but she like wakes up in his place and he's acting as her, like freak, it's like very, very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a scene between him. Okay. So there's a scene when he wakes, or Vince Vaughn wakes up as Millie, and she is appalled at everything she's seeing. And then a homeless dude walks up asking for drugs. And then he's like, why? He's like, I don't have any drugs. He goes, but by the way, when you see me, do you see a girl? And he's like, what? And he goes, do you see like a petite blonde girl with, you know, like a high school girl? And all of a sudden the guy goes like, oh no. He goes, wait a minute, man. You said you weren't on drugs. You're holding out. I want to feel like a teenage girl. And just starts trying to like run out of it. with the parting words of, I'll suck your dick.
Oh, so it sounds fun. I'll probably end up checking it out after hearing your reviews.
I think
on
it's on
it.
Hulu.
Well,
it was
great.
HBO Go is where I saw it.
HBO Go still
or
a thing?
HBO Max? No, sorry, Max. I'm a fucking dinosaur. So if I say something that's like two versions before that, that's because I up until 2 weeks ago was driving a 2004 Camry.
Nice. No problem. All right. So I'm going to try to end the segment one more time. Thank you very much, Ross, for doing that wonderful movie review. And you know what? I think we will, you know, just go ahead and take another one of those fake little commercial breaks.
From the makers of Nylon come ambient sounds. Is your house too quiet? Do you want things in the background that may or may not be there? Then try ambient sounds. Try our deluxe package with sounds of the outside, sounds of the inside, and sounds from underneath your bed.
And welcome back for our last little segment here. Thank you so much for holding on and hanging on and being with us on this journey. So we thought we would kind of, I guess, end this out once again with kind of a little game, maybe to get us to know each other a little bit better, or get you to know us a little bit more, and how we kind of think in some, you know, would you rather type of situations. So Ross presented this kind of idea and question for us earlier. So if you want to go ahead and ask that question that you brought up earlier, Ross, and I think we can kind of start that off from there.
Oh, perfect. The superhero intellectual debate that has been raging in our shop for months now. Would you rather be able to stop time or become invisible? Stop time or become invisible?
Stop time.
Now, I think I know Sam knows his answer right away. So, Sam, why would you choose stop time then?
It's so much more useful.
I mean, I'm going to agree. I'll say that too. I think being invisible, why? What's the anything that you can do being invisible?
You could do if you could stop time. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so okay, here's what lies the. So we started asking these questions back and forth. So with stopping time, there's a whole different lot of parameters with that, where it's like, if you were able to stop time, can you? No, just like it, just being like, okay, stopping time in general. Mm-hmm. Would be like, okay, I can stop time for X amount of time to learn, you know, like I want to learn to play guitar, so I stop time and I become like a Groundhog Day thing. He has all of eternity to try to figure this out, you know what I mean, where it's like you have just infinite time to do whatever you want to. So here, like, would the trick be, oh, but you still age normally even if you stop
normally,
time?
Absolutely.
I think you would still age normally.
I just think of it as like someone comes to rob you. You can turn invisible or you can stop time. Like, I'm going to stop time and get away rather than... You know what I mean? Like,
I think if I had the ability to...
and offensively, I think it's a better weapon to have.
It's a better tool that you can
use. And if I'm trying to sneak in somewhere... Like, it'd be better to sneak in with time stop than invisibly. Like, there's a million reasons.
If you're doing it for nefarious reasons, for sure. Time stop is going to, like, solve any of those problems. Being invisible just means you're a creep.
Well, yeah. Right. Cause,
well, if you just want to go into, like, a locker room.
But you could do the same.
See, it also draws... So
you could also do that with stopping time.
Thing with stopping time.
You gotta use your powers.
It just depends on how much of a skeeve you are.
I feel like there's a lot more utility to the stopping time. 100%. There's a lot more that you... Like,
there's a lot... Think of all the crimes you could stop.
The proposed question I always heard with this was involving invisibility was that or flying were the two. And typically people would say that if you chose invisibility...
You were a creep,
You were a creep.
You were a creep. Well, I think it's the anonymity but it's that in either real time when other people are cognizant of it or when they're not. Where it's like if you're invisible, things are happening around you, but nobody can see you. If you stop time, you're still doing the same thing, but no one's aware that you
Which
did it.
Which is why
anything.
That's a sure. better.
Yeah, oh, no, I trust, guess, you I'm know, in the some same people camp. Just want to be that fly on the wall. And,
oh,
because like,
then you
yeah,
can't, like, spy observe, on somebody?
Observe people.
You couldn't. Well, I mean, if you spying, can stop time, like, you could, like, find a really good hiding spot. And if and someone's coming some your way, you can just stop time again yeah. And hide somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Or if you get caught, you can stop time and leave.
Exactly. Oh, you caught me. Nope.
It's crazy, like, thinking, like, if you stop time and, like, say for the auspice of, like robbing a bank or something like that, what would happen if you stopped time but you physically couldn't move anything? Because time stopped. So, like, you can't move it in time because all of time and space has stopped.
Sure.
So, like, you can't even... So, like, that's where it gets me, where, like, it's like you get the superpower, but there's the one hang-up.
So mm-hmm. is it like you're invisible, but only your body's invisible, your clothes are floating around, so you'd have to get naked?
Exactly, like that kind of thing. Or if you stop time, technically you could stop time, but because you've stopped time, you can't pick anything up, you can't move right. things. Like, you can literally move around things.
I try to think of it in the parameters of, okay, this is almost like superhero, this is a superpower, so you got to mm-hmm. think of it maybe in a more basic aspect of, okay, I have the power to stop time, I'll be able to move stuff or whatever. Because one of the yeah. big things when people talk about can you fly versus being invisible, it's like, okay, can you fly? Great. How, like, do you also have the ability to not, like, are you invulnerable? What if you're, like, flying at, like, 60 miles an hour and, like, something flies into you? Like,
and you're dead. Or if you fly too high.
Or, like, do you have an aversion to, like, atmospheres and, like, cold right. and all that stuff? Do you gain, like, the ability to fly safely and all that entails?
Does it, like, take cardio? You know what I
exactly.
mean? Exactly. Like,
is it, like, a muscle? Like, it's like you're running. Right. Or, like, yeah, what is the speed? Can I only, like, go, like, fly 5 miles per hour? But I think of, like, in the grand sense of what the questions typically ask, you get kind of all the best-case scenario with yeah. it.
Think of it, like, mm-hmm. as a superpower.
Exactly.
I agree.
And that's not an X-Men superpower where things can go horribly wrong.
Yeah, but so it'd be, like, really the one weird. Of the... It'd be like one of the two things where it's like you have the option to teleport anywhere, but the downside is you immediately shit your pants the second you get to where you're at. Or.
Right. Well, that's some of the, like, yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Or. Okay, or let's okay. see. You could become invisible except for your genitals.
Oh.
I think I did take the shitting one.
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I would be prepared for
because, again,
for
in
it.
An emergency, like, being able to teleport.
In an emergency, you
myself.
Go invisible and your genitals are showing. They're just going to go straight like, for your genitals.
He's right there.
I guess it depends on the size of your genitals. Yeah. You have small genitals.
If you play it right, like, let's say I want to come hang out with you guys and I just teleport, I'll just know to teleport, like, straight to your bathroom and I won't be wearing pants.
And just free shitting everywhere.
Just start going right away, then I'll be able to pop out and be like, hey, I'm here.
No, are you kidding me? I would just wear Depends. Like, if you're planning on teleporting somewhere, I'd just have Depends. I would just ask for a trash bag in the nearest trash receptacle the second I got to your house.
Well, if you're planning it, for sure.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I mean, like, you
if
know
you're
what?
On, like,
if you're
on, like, a plane that's crashing, probably shoot your pants anyway.
Right? Okay, so right. I have, here, pick a number between 1 and 5 real quick. Ross.
3.
3? All right. Now we're going to go ahead and Sam, pick a number between 1 and 10 real quick.
9.
All right. So would you rather find the love of your life or find $1 million? Pounds, dollars, I guess. I guess I got this.
Did you get this for Britain?
Apparently. That was a pretty dumb question, but you guys picked it, so.
The love of my life or $1 million?
Yeah. I'm going to choose the love of my life. I don't need $1 million over that. Yeah. I think we all know how we were going to pick on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy, all right, let's.
How about we do this? Here's pick a number between 1 and 10, Ross.
7.
right. Would you rather fight a kangaroo or a badger?
Fucking badger all day long. Have you seen a kangaroo fuck someone up? Like, that's the most insane. That's like a mutant chud version of a person with huge upper body strength. You could, like, rip your head
off. And that's not just, and pretty rough, too.
Is absolutely.
Yeah, is it the honey badger, right? That, like, they just don't stop.
Yeah, like they, badgers are ruthless.
They don't stop attacking. I've seen a guy punch a kangaroo in the face to save his dog.
Right.
Well, yeah. Because
I've seen someone come out of a kangaroo fight.
Yeah, that's true. But, no,
like,
man.
A badger would probably be easier to kill, though, but you would, like, have to kill it.
Oh, no, dude. And see, I'm thinking,
like, so much more rabid.
No, see, I'm thinking, like, if we're talking of... Well, no, like, we're thinking, like, a fight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I wound up, like, transported in a room... with
like
one of these animals
ring.
And only one of us is able to like leave that thing alive, absolutely a million years I would do a badger over a fucking kangaroo. The kangaroo could decapitate me with one kick to the head.
Okay, so this isn't like you come across one in the wild.
It's like a fight to death.
No.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
no, this
your,
isn't
your
like
scenario.
No, this isn't like Pokemon. Like it's not like rolling up and like a wild kangaroo appears. Like mm-hmm. I'm figuring like I've been drugged. And now I'm on some, like, Ukrainian underground television show, and I have to fight one of these things to the death to leave.
I don't know. I still feel like I want
to
fight a
kangaroo.
Was that
too accurate? I should stop going to Europe.
Sounds like we have a new segment.
I should have never went to Europe.
That time I blacked out in Amsterdam.
I'd try to fight a kangaroo. I feel like a badger would still play dirty and try to, like, slice my ankles.
Well, badgers are just like...
I feel like I could just get a good hit.
Manic, you know what I mean? Like, that energy they're coming at you with.
Right,
is,
right.
And it's just actually, like, it does not stop. Talk about cardio.
Wait, are we also... Is this unarmed? Is this like hand-to-hand combat? Or can we pick a weapon?
I mean, does the animal
does
get
the
a weapon,
wait,
too?
I was going to say, does the kangaroo get to pick a weapon?
No, I figured it was hand-to-hand combat. So you're going with, you would rather fight the badger. Sam, I think you want to fight the kangaroo as well, or?
If this is
hand-to-hand, in a ring, for some reason.
Fight to the death, like, one, two, man and animal go in, only one comes out type of thing. Because then I'm also going badger, just because it's smaller and less muscular.
I don't know, Okay, I'm going with kangaroo for both instances.
If the kangaroo is not going to just like get punched in the face and run away from me and going to stand there and fight me, I'm going badger.
I don't know. I feel like I could get like a headlock on the kangaroo.
Because I feel like if I came across a kangaroo in the wild and punched it in the face, it would run away. And if I came across a badger in real life and punched it in the face, it would like bite onto my neck and not stop.
I keep on just seeing the photos of the upper torsos of kangaroos, and it's just the most ripped, just insane.
They're so
like,
incredibly
just mutant,
strong.
Oh my god, they're like mutant human beings. Like it's like a weird subdivision of absolutely not.
They just don't have craving, deep seated intense love violence.
Listeners in Australia, do kangaroos have bloodlust?
And if any kangaroos are listening,
we're sorry.
Maybe you'd want to arrange a fight.
Ooh, Brian
wants to fight you.
We probably have to do that in like international waters or something. We can't.
Absolutely.
We're gonna have to. That's all off the books. We can't be.
We'll let the kangaroo make the arrangements.
We'll figure that out.
Also, this segment is brought to you in part by PETA.
Don't get us on PETA's list. Yeah.
They really like to harass people.
But no, okay, so I think that was fun. I think we should end it there. We've been going for a little bit now, and we're coming up to a point that I think we've successfully completed this next episode for everyone. So before we end, I want to just remind everyone to go ahead and follow us at Chuddle the Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, and I don't even think I mentioned my social earlier, which was at Chuddle the Brian. Of course, you can find Sam and Ross at Chuddle the Sam and Chuddle the Ross. Do you guys have anything to add for me?
Just that, you know, thanks for
inviting
us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been great.
Awesome.
We appreciate it.
I hope to do it more. I hope to have you back again, and I hope to have all of you listeners out there to continue to journey with us on this ride. So thank you again. Keep on chuddling. Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers Dual Language Entertainment. Chuddle.